Have you ever thought something about someone and then didn't think that way anymore after you got to know them?
Sure do. Very common for me during my frequent reality TV binge sessions. I didn't like Monica from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City at the beginning of the recent season, but now I'm a fan. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Here are the stereotypes about Utah we looked into this season on State Street.
Utah is super conservative and Republican.
Utah is full of members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they all think the same.
Utah is anti-LGBTQ.
In Utah, moms raise the kids and don't bring home a paycheck.
Utah is an affordable utopia where everyone can buy a house. And here's another one we haven't touched on this season yet, but our friends in the Bay Area definitely thought of it. Utah is full of white people.
Oh, that's a lot of white people out there.
I think of national parks and a lot of rocks and Mormons and white people.
We are actually going to get into that diversity question a little bit later in this episode.
But the thing about stereotypes is they are usually rooted in a little bit of truth. Here's what Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute chief economist Phil Dean had to say about it.
I think some of the stereotypes may have been somewhat representative of Utah 50 years ago, let's say. But Utah has changed fairly dramatically over time, and I'd say accelerated over the last decade or so, and then even accelerated further during the pandemic.
You hear that? Utah is changing.
Okay, David Bowie, on this episode of State Street, how do you lead a state that has changed so much and still continues to do so? Utah Governor Spencer Cox weighs in on that.
So Utah has gone through an identity shift in the last two decades.
And that's backed up with data. A new report by the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute called The New Utah, Keepers of the Flame, laid out six factors that all contribute to how Utah is changing.
There's a lot in this report. One thing that struck me is Utah is known for having a good amount of kids, but not recently. Utahns have been having fewer kids since the Great Recession in 2008. And for the first time in a long time, the state isn't growing because of new babies. It's growing because people are just moving to Utah.
To be clear, Utah is still having quite a few babies compared to the rest of the country, but we're not leading the pack anymore.
North Dakota is now having the most babies, also known as the Peace Garden State. Fun fact, Utah is number three for fertility.
To me, it was fascinating to see just how diverse Utah has gotten. The number of people who identify as a racial or ethnic minority has more than doubled since 1990. It's now at 23.3% of the state's population. And experts say one in three Utahns could identify as a minority in the coming decades.
Utah's economy is also rocking and rolling. The state consistently leads the country in job growth.
But the biggest takeaway from the report is how each one of these factors affects the others. Here's Phil Dean again to explain.
They're deep interconnections that sometimes it's easy to view them in isolation when in reality they're deeply interconnected and drive each other. So just one example, that elite economy fueled by workers coming into the state because there are a lot of strong job openings in the state have helped accelerated the high housing prices that we're dealing with. So again, there's to me, that's one of the driving things is just understanding the deep interconnections.
Some aspects of a changing Utah are positive. It's getting more diverse. The economy is on fire. And Utah is now a solid mid-sized state, number 30 in the nation, to be exact.
But with the good comes some bad. Utah is now the seventh most expensive state in the country for housing. Ouch. That's largely driven by the state's explosive growth. New high-paying jobs are attracting out-of-state talent, which makes housing options scarce and prices high.
The report says high housing costs represent one of, if not the greatest risk to the health of the Utah economy.
In short, it doesn't matter how many awesome jobs we have. If those workers can't find a place to live, they'll go somewhere else.
We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we'll hear from someone who has a lot of thoughts about this. Like, a lot.
That's right. The governor's in the house.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion about the biggest political headlines in the Beehive State. Find new episodes of PBS Utah's The Hinckley Report every Friday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. Okay, we get it. Utah is embracing a fresh personality. She's bigger and more diverse than ever before. But with all that comes growing pains.
So how do you lead a state that's going through, and hear me out, what kind of seems like puberty?
You know, I see it. Things are changing. Sometimes it's awkward. Things don't fit anymore. Nothing makes sense.
So we talked to someone who knows a thing or two about helping Utah spread its wings.
It's Governor Spencer Cox. He is leading the state with wildly different interests as a lot of new people move in. So we took the State Street Mobile up to the Capitol building for a chat. That's where he told us there are some Utah-specific personality traits he doesn't want to change.
So this season on State Street, we've explored different stereotypes of Utah, like it's super religious or it's super cheap to live here are some of the stereotypes. What's one thing you want outsiders to know about the state?
What I want them to know is that we are a weird state. In fact, I think we're the weirdest state, and I wear that as a badge of honor. I want to keep Utah weird. I keep hearing like, oh, people aren't going to want to move there because it's ultra religious, or you're a super conservative state, and that's just not the case. Again, we're the fastest growing state in the nation. It's a place where people want to live. We are unique. I think religion is important in our country. I think historically it's been very important, and I want people of all faiths to want to live here. We are very accepting of people of different faiths. I want people of no faith to live here. And we're seeing growing numbers of people who don't participate in any religious activity. Utah is known as a family state. I really want to keep that. I want people to think of Utah as a place where they can raise a family, where there's support for raising a family, where kids can thrive, that this is a beautiful place to live. It's a great place. I also want people to know that this is the startup state. If you want to be successful in business, this is a place to do it. And that's, these are things that are true to our core and being true to our values and true to our history. And I think the rest of the country could use a little Utah weird right now.
And a new report from Kempsey Gardner shows a new Utah. The state is becoming more diverse, it's older, and more expensive. From your perspective, how do you see Utah changing?
Well, exactly the ways that report pointed out. And these aren't changes that happened overnight, although one of them happened, I think, much more quickly than we expected, and that's the Utah becoming more expensive piece. Sadly, every state is dealing with the price of housing significantly, but part of that being driven, of course, by interest rates. But here, it's certainly being driven by a lack of supply and the growth that we've seen here. So that's the one that really keeps me up at night that I'm worried about. We've known that Utah is aging, and that would be part of it. Although the falling birth rate, I think, is, it was happening slowly and then a little quicker than we expected. Historically, we've been really good at having kids. It's kind of our thing. And we're having less than ever. But the changing demographics as far as racial diversity goes, that's something that's been happening for a couple decades now. And I believe is very positive. We have so many people that are here, families that are growing, calling Utah home and adding to the really rich fabric of this place that we call home. And so while these changes bring challenges, there are also real positives that are coming from those changes.
One of the big themes, both in the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute report and our own reporting, is that Utah, as you know, is changing. And what we're really finding is that there's just not one Utah. The experience of Utahns very much so depends on their geography, their age, their religion, their political views. So as governor, how do you lead a state that can vary so much and that is changing so quickly?
I think it's important to note that change is hard for people, and you can embrace it or you can reject it and exploit it. And this is where it becomes very dangerous, I think, for politicians. it's really easy to exploit change for your benefit and to instill fear of change. And you know, look, I'm guilty of this sometimes. I very famously said that I didn't say we don't want Californians to come here. That's what got reported. What I said was that I feel bad for Californians who feel like they need to leave to come here because of some decisions that are made in California that I think they can make differently. And we can't build a wall around Utah. That doesn't work. And so we have to figure out how do we again retain the very best parts of Utah and embrace the good things that come from change. And there are positive things that come from change. So I think the way we talk about each other really matters. I think the way we message really matters. I think finding opportunities for us to come together. Look, we're a pluralistic society, and there's never been one Utah. Even when those early LDS Mormon pioneers came here, very quickly the railroad came through, and we had these railroad towns like Ogden, right? We had mining towns like Price, with immigrants who came to mine. Look, we had the second Jewish governor in the United States was right here in Utah. I mean, that shocks people to learn that. So this concept that Utah used to be just, you know, a bunch of white Mormons with a bunch of kids has never been true. And so I sometimes think we kind of overemphasize the change when realizing that there always has been this unique diversity here. And for years, we figured out how to make that work. In a pluralistic society like the United States, we have to learn how to disagree better, something I'm very passionate about. And we do that by getting to know each other. And so finding ways and institutions to label ourselves as Utahns, instead of just focusing on the differences that drive us apart. And far too often, again, politicians today are highlighting our differences as Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, MAGA, Pride, using racial divisions to divide us. We have far more in common, no matter how different we are, than those differences. And when we actually spend time together, it's hard to hate up close. We start to focus on the similarities. And I think that's how we navigate a rapidly changing social aspect of our state.
How do you see the state's politics changing?
There's this notion that as a fast-growing state, that means we're going to inevitably become less conservative and instead of a red state, become a purple state or more of a blue state. I used to believe that. I believe it a lot less now. I'll give you an example. So we hear all these Californians are here and they're going to change us and you know, make us just turn us into a liberal state or whatever. I found the exact opposite to be true. I found that more of the people that are moving here from California are conservatives, are Republicans. And what I have found, though, and I think this is important, is that their politics often tends to be more extreme than conservatives here in Utah. I've started asking people when I hear, oh, you're from California, tell me a little bit about why you came here and your politics. And more often than not, I find out that they're conservatives who decided to move here because of tax policies and other things that are happening there. So I do worry about a polarization in our politics happening here. We may stay a red state, but do we become a more divided state? And that's, like the rest of the country, something I hope won't happen.
Utah's Latter-day Saint population is declining as well. How does that change the identity of the state?
Yeah, I think it definitely plays a role. When I was growing up, the state was about 75% LDS. Now it's probably down to about 55. I'm more concerned about the decline in religion more broadly than just the LDS side. Obviously, it has an impact and will have an impact. But still, there's no other state like Utah, even if it's, you know, 40% LDS, that's still higher than, you know, any single population anywhere else. And so I don't know that will change. We'll always be seen as kind of that LDS state, that weird religious state. But I do think that there are serious impacts to our state and to our country with the decline in religious attendance. Only because that's where people found community. And when we lose that, what are we replacing it with? If people aren't interested in religion, can we find other institutions or build other institutions that can bring people together in healthy ways to lift each other?
Part of the report from Kenzie Gardner says one of the biggest threats to the state's economy is the rising cost of housing.
I absolutely believe it. When people ask me, you know, what keeps you up at night? What's the thing that worries you the most? 2 years ago, it was water and housing, water one, housing two. We had a great winter. We've passed a ton of policy and $1 billion of funding on the water side. Now it's absolutely housing. That's number one for me. But it threatens our ability, not just to grow, but to keep our kids and grandkids here. And that is deeply concerning to me. And so we're doing everything possible. We're talking to experts across the country. We're looking at other countries, what's been able to do there. We know it's a supply issue. So how do we increase supply? We're looking at how we can invest in infrastructure. We have thousands and tens of thousands of lots that are technically permitted where you could build, but the infrastructure is not there. If you don't have water, sewer, power, nobody's going to build there. And so how do we incentivize that happening so we can increase supply? So yeah, there's more that we can do. I think you'll see more this session. We've passed at least a dozen bills on housing over the past 2 years. I think you'll see more on the infrastructure side, trying to take advantage of the places where we can build and build efficiently.
What do these changing demographics tell you about the state?
Well, it tells me that we are thriving, and people don't move to states where things are falling apart. People aren't excited about places where there's a terrible lifestyle, where there's a terrible economy. And the fact that Utah is changing tells me that we are doing things the right way. The question is, are we willing to continue to do things the right way? Are we willing to invest in our future? Are we willing to look beyond just the next political election? The reason we're thriving isn't because I made great decisions or the legislature made great decisions. It's because people made the great decisions 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago. We've built on the past. Are we willing to make the sacrifices necessary to ensure that 50 years from now, we're having a conversation about Utah being the greatest state in the nation and thriving? That's the question. I hope I know the answer, but it's not just the politicians. It's every one of us in this state getting to know our neighbors, taking care of each other, and ensuring that we have a high quality of life for the next generation.
That was Utah Governor Spencer Cox.
Well, there you have it. Utah is not the same gal some people knew 2 decades ago.
And that's okay. While change may be hard for some folks, it's happening. Full stop.
It's all about how we react to that change. And that'll take time to sort out all the pieces and chart a path for the future.
But there is one thing Governor Cox will stand by till the end of time. It's that Utah will always be weird.
And that does it for this season of State Street. But don't be sad. We'll be back in your feeds with another season real soon. The legislative session is just around the corner. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. The show's executive producer is Caroline Ballard. Editing and production support comes from David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark.
Our digital team includes Jim Hill, Eleanor Gomberg, and Raquel Davis. And special thanks to Bijan Siavoji, who gathered audio for us in California.
State Street is a production of KUER. Just can't get enough of the show? Sign up for our newsletter for behind-the-scenes content. And we'd love to hear what you think. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. And see you soon. You hear that? Utah is changing. I'll take it a different way, too.
No, I'll do it.
From KUER.